Residents rose to their feet as new information, essentially direction from a federal judge overseeing the bankruptcy of California's largest utility, was relayed by Aaron Johnson, a Pacific Gas and Electric Company Electrical Division Vice President.
As I stand in front of you here tonight, on behalf of my company, I want to apologize for the role our equipment had in this tragedy. Nothing I can say. Nothing I can stand up in front of you and say is going to undo that, and I know that. We know that.
After the apology, Johnson delivered more welcome news.
Moving forward, we will be undergrounding the entire electrical distribution system for the town and some of the surrounding areas.
Johnson said it would take about 5 years and could not specify which areas beyond Paradise were included. He said undergrounding immediately after the fire would have caused enormous reconstruction delays. Additionally, he said the court directed PG&E to create a $105 million fund for uninsured and underinsured survivors of the campfire and other recent wildfires traced to PG&E's equipment. The money will come from shareholders. The fund will be administered by a separate, independent body. PG&E's announcement may have stolen the show, but hundreds had turned out at the Paradise Alliance Church for what was billed as the culminating session of a months-long visioning process. Safer, welcoming, stronger, and better were the broad, if vague, shared themes, but in the details, divisions remain. Residents were invited to critique and offer additional input as the town's Pittsburgh-based facilitator, Urban Design Associates, prepares final recommendations to the council. Concepts such as a reliable emergency notification system and reconstruction of the Gold Nugget Museum and Norton Buffalo Hall received near universal support, while initiatives framed with any form of the word sustainable gathered significant opposition. Affordable housing received the most objections, even in a town known for trailer parks and retirees on fixed incomes. Earlier, officials pitched a series of building code changes that eliminate fire vulnerabilities but add to construction costs. Survivor Gwen Marzewski and her husband are leaning toward rebuilding, but watching this discussion very closely.
We're waiting to see where all this falls to see if this is something that we really want to rebuild our home, but we need to find out how much this is really going to cost us. You know, so we have to kind of hold off and wait and see, is this something that's going to be viable?
That perhaps will be the biggest challenge ahead, balancing stricter building codes that make homes less likely to burn with higher costs that could leave many with no piece of paradise at all. Mark Albert, North State Public Radio News.